In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Bulavinaka, dolavina, hello, aketa, malolele, talofalava, kia ora ana, hello, and Ali, and everyone, welcome everyone to Tunisian Footy Friday, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my Cook Island Kaui Tinidau Arona T up to.
Kia ora ana, brother. Kia ora ana to our audience, kia ora ana to you. How's your week been?
It's actually been very good. Very, very good because it's Friday.
Yeah,
and we're at the back end of the week. So
great to hear.
Before you know it, we'll be back in on Monday, previewing and reviewing everything that happened on the weekend.
Talking State of Origin as well. There's some selections
today
to be made
on Monday.
Next week on Monday we'll cover.
Sweet as.
But on today's show here on Neat and Footy, we do have our two professionals, Sala Tongatuki from our NRLW. She will cover her trial that she played last weekend, and we also have the NRLW kicking off next week, so we'll see how that the preparation has been for the West Tigers. We also have Nemani Nondolo Kudendrani reporting live from Fiji, covering all things rugby union, Sammy.
I reckon he's got something special for us.
Yeah?
Big Nems, yeah, I believe he's got something because he put a little text in the WhatsApp where usually it takes him about 5 days to reply back, but this time he responded really quick, so I'm thinking there's something hot there.
Yep.
From Fiji.
Nice. And then, as always, there is plenty to talk about in both rugby league and rugby union, which we will get to. There is the Perth Bears.
Is there some light there?
They have been granted a special or been handed a, how can you put it into words?
So they whinged for a little bit?
And
they've been whinging for a little bit and they got what they wanted. Okay.
They've been given some help.
I'm not hating on the Bears. I love the Bears.
Two heavyweights, Sam Warne, Kiwi, big boxer, who's just had a fight this week.
Would you call it a pillow fight?
But we'll be talking about big Nelson Asofa Solomona, and then also round 17 kicking off last night, also continuing over the weekend. Anything to talk about in rugby union?
Plenty to talk about in rugby union, man. The Nations Cup is happening, the Nations Championship as well. So the Tier 1, Tier 2 of the international campaign is underway from next week. So we'll have plenty to talk to about that. And then as well, I'll beat on the drum around how I'm very disappointed at the fact that Moana Pacifica, it's official. They are out. So
yeah.
I want to make sure that our voices are heard about how disappointed I am around that news.
Hey, what a great time to play International Rugby Union while the Soccer World Cup's on. But yeah, let's go. Round 17, NRL, Tunisian Footy. Tunisian Footy Fridays. Let's go.
Let's go.
Hey, it's Greg Marju from Newcastle Knights, and you're listening to Tunisian Footy.
All right, T, let's kick things off with NRL Rugby League. Round 17 happened last night. The Rabbitohs, they look to be in some pretty good form towards the back end of the season.
Yes, a huge win for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, beating the Parramatta Eels in Parramatta 32 points to 12. It was 6 tries to the Rabbitohs and 2 tries to the Eels. Look, I just think in regards to form, it was a big win for the Rabbitohs. They are sitting now in the top 8. They've jumped up to 4th on the live ladder, but they're finding some form. I think the way that they're carrying the ball, creating quick play the balls, there was a great example during this game where coach for the Parramatta Eels, Jason Rolls, the cameras went up to the box. The coach,
I think,
box,
I know where you're going with this.
And after the Rabbitoh's second try, he's just punched the wall and made his way out of the box. But just to see their frustration. You can understand why when you see the way that the Rabbitohs, particularly in that set, why he was frustrated.
You know, when you look at that set, so was that the one where it was just pretty much they scored after, what, three quick play the balls? Was that the one, T?
Yep, so Tavita Totola, he takes a carry, gets a half-decent quick play the ball, straight for the middle, and then Brandon Smith passes it to Keon Kolomatangi. He then gets a faster play of the ball, and then off the back of that, and that's right in the middle of the field. They're attacking the Eels try line, and then Brandon Smith comes out and then puts a player in for a try. And defensively...
So defensively, you shouldn't be challenged in that situation, what you're talking about. Like, they didn't do anything that really challenged the decision-making or the mindset of the defensive players. It was just pretty much run hard, quick play the ball, go again.
Yeah, and then off the back of that, Ewan Aiken scores just through running through the middle. So this was only in the first quarter of the match, or less, the 13th minute of the match. Now, you think of the preparation where, leading into the week, the Eels would have done on two big middles in Totola and Kolomatangi.
Yep.
And the slowing that ruck down, they would have done a lot of work on, we need to slow the ruck down and not give these opportunities.
Like, you know what's coming.
They would have prepared.
In preparation.
They practiced. They would have been in the wrestle room. They would have been on the field doing contact. And then just to concede an easy try like that for Ewan Aiken, Brandon Smith to come out, no pressure, skips out, hits Ewan Aiken to score. As a coach, that would have been frustrating.
It's so frustrating. And because, like, for coaches, one, it's in the 13th minute, so you're not even tired. Two, it's a soft moment. They always talk about soft moments when you give up points like that. And I don't know what it is, because I've been, as a player, I've given up those soft moments as well, where I don't know why. I don't know why those simple things happen, but they just do. And that's why you get the reaction of Jason Riles of being so frustrated, just banging on that wall, because that shouldn't happen because of the preparation that you've had leading into the week.
I was focused on, and I know this is nowhere near at the NRL level, but coaching at club level, it's about winning those first two tackles. And if you lose the first one, there's a knock-on effect on the second one, knock-on effect on the third one, and that's exactly what happened here. Totola gets a quick play of the ball, makes it easy for Kolomatangi. He gets a quick one, and then they end up scoring the next play. So it just goes to show the importance of trying to really put a lot of attention in that first couple tackles. But, hey, great win for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. They, you know, as I said earlier, they're currently at the top four on the live ladder. And, you know, I didn't have them in my top eight at the start of the season. So, good to see David Fifita.
Look, you know, busy, 17 carries.
Some good footy.
Good meters.
Keon Kolomatangi, I reckon, could he be a smoky for
a caller?
State of Origin. I mean, the way that he's been playing, we need to try something. So for the Blues, so you know, it could be a smoky there. But well done to South Sydney Rabbitohs. You're here listening to Neesian Footy Fridays. We do have round 17 kicking off, or the rest of round 17 kicking off tonight with the Gold Coast Titans taking on the Bulldogs. We also have some huge games on Saturday. Now, the Warriors versus the Dolphins. I don't want to get too deep into this one because we will cover this with Sala Tongatuki.
That looks like the match of the round.
For me, it's a match of the round because second versus third, Dolphins on a win streak, seven games in a row. The last team that beat the Dolphins was the Warriors, and the Warriors just playing some really good footy.
They both play a good brand of footy, don't they?
Entertaining. Very entertaining. But here's one for you. Saturday night, the Melbourne Storm versus the Seagulls at Brookvale, Sydney. The Battle of Brookvale. Tell me why this one's
a lot of history between these two clubs, and I think it was that famous brawl with Adam Blair back in the day.
Adam Blair, Glenn Stewart. Yep.
When it went towards the sideline, and ever since then, and they've had some really good grand finals over the years as well. So I always loved it, the fact that when these two teams come up against each other, there's still that feeling amongst the group. Even though it's almost 10 years past, there's still that at Brookvale Oval.
Then after that fight, they ended up meeting each other in a couple grand finals as well.
I thought you were going to say end up meeting in the car park.
No, not in the car park. But it's cool, images to watch when you see Adam Blair.
How much has rugby league changed since then?
Yeah, you'll be getting suspended for the rest of the year if that ever happens again. But, man, what a cool time to watch, but also the rivalry that's growing from that moment. And I think another big game on Sunday for me is the Newcastle Knights versus the West Tigers. Why? West Tigers are currently sitting at 10th. Very important one as we lead into the back end of the season. And the Knights, they have Fletcher Sharp, Dylan Brown, and also KP, Kalen Ponga playing. So it's always entertaining to watch those three play together. Another thing about the Knights, they've done their cultural nights this week at Newcastle HQ, and they showed some footage of it. They broke up, so they had both NRL and NRLW teams gathered together. Our good friend David Solomona, he was the MC for the evening. What the two teams, they come together, they broke up into three groups, and they had three different workshops. First one was a game of cricket. So I'm guessing that that's the Australian.
Is that the Australian one? Or the Samoan Australian cricket? Thing. It could be either, but anyway, I'm assuming Australian.
The second station was a New Zealand Māori, you know, the game where you go pukana. There's a game of a group game where you're, it's like, how can you put it into words?
Actually don't know. I know what you're talking about. It's with you when you point to the person and you've got to say...
You say pukana, and then if I point to you, you have to point to someone else and say pukana while you're doing the pukana.
And the pukana is put it sticking your tongue out.
Yep. There's also another Māori game they done where they had the sticks and you have to drop it and catch the next stick next to you. And then on the third one was someone teaching the group a siva. So, yeah, it was cool to see that.
Was that Greggy Marju teaching the siva?
Possibly.
Man, he's got some moves, so if I'd want to be in a group, I'd want to be in a group with him.
And then I heard that they done a car park umu. So they had the...
A car park umu.
Yeah, so they had the umu set up in the car park, and that went down at 1 p.m, I was told, and then it was ready for a 7 p.m. feed. And apparently the meat was just falling off the bones. So
stop it.
Big game on Sunday night, Knights versus Tigers.
Really good. You talk about the Parramatta Eels preparation and, you know, making sure they get their defence right. And you've got the Newcastle Knights having their Pacific Island night eating a really good feed. So, yeah, man, that's what happens when you win and that's what happens when you don't win.
You can hear every game this weekend live on ABC Radio Australia. Here on Knees and Footy, we do have some more news to talk about. Now, for all the Perth Bears fans out there, there is some light. You have been given, like, with all the noise and the complaining from some people, our producer. but Perth Bears, they receive a salary cap concession of up to $500,000. So what does that mean? It means that so next year, the salary cap for the NRL is 11.7 mil. So that's the amount of money that the clubs receive to spend on players. They can't go above the 11.7. The reasons why is because you try and create a competitive competition. You see over in football in other countries, they don't have the salary cap rule, so some teams just stack.
It'll be just a matter of money. You
how
can
much
stack
money
your team. Yep.
You have, that's where you have players like, you know, Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, and they'll be surrounded by other stars. So next year, 11.7 mil. The Bears now have an extra $500,000 on top of that 11.7 mil. But there is a catch. So one, the Bears have to find that extra $500,000 from sponsorship.
Oh, so that's not given from the NRL broadcasting in that. Okay.
And then they can only use that $500,000 to top up a player's salary by 20% max.
So you can't use the whole 500 on one player.
You can't use the whole 500. So what that does, it targets your higher end players to give them an extra 20%. So if you're on $1 million, if you're $1 million player, you could get 1.2 and that 200,000 not be a part of the salary cap.
If you were a player that has already signed with the Perth Bears? Would you be a little bit filthy?
Yeah, I thought
like
that.
For someone like, for say, Sorensen, who's over there, who would be a marquee player, he's come from a premiership winning side with the Panthers. If he knew that there was an extra 20% on the table for him, I just would have thought that, yeah, that maybe I'd be going, hang on a tick, can I get a bit more in my back pocket? But what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a great point. I think the extra grant is aimed for the players that are on that one mil.
Because they haven't signed a marquee yet, is that right?
Because they're trying to, well, I think this is on the back of also PNG Chiefs signing Jerome Luai.
Okay.
Then it's like, well, Bears, how can we, if I'm in the Bears, like, well, how can we sign a Jerome Luai? How can we sign a $1 million player if they know that they can get that amount tax-free going to PNG if they're on the market? This will go on for the next 3 years, because next year on the open market, you probably don't have as many or if any $1 million players. Whereas on the second year, free for 2028, there are a fair few, and they're in the same conversations of PNG Chiefs, those players. So I was thinking, how would you spend that extra $500,000? And you see me this morning when you walked in, when we're doing
you
our
seem
prep,
pretty happy with yourself with your calculator.
I'm trying to figure out, how would I spend extra $500,000? And I'm trying to get
you would have been in the
right.
same math class as me during school, so...
Yeah, I was maths extension, bro.
Hey, take it easy.
Until for 2 weeks, and then I went back
realized,
down to standard.
Yeah. Look, I think it's one, yeah, obviously... you've got to find that money first through sponsorship. So I guess finding an extra $500,000 is not easy if it's not guaranteed from, you know, broadcast revenue or the NRL themselves. So you've got to do that. But being strategic with the fact that making sure that the people that you go after, how much can you stretch that without sort of going all in on one? I know you got 20%, but just the right people that deserve that extra 20%. And I'd be looking at probably age group as well. Like, do you want the next big thing coming through, or are you looking for someone now that's sort of like that 24, 25 age bracket or 26, just who's matured, who's had 100 games and probably needs an extra 20% that would definitely come?
So I was thinking, you look at Penrith Panthers and the way that they've structured their team, you know, they would have players like Dylan Edwards, Yowie and Nathan Cleary all on your probably top tier yep. amount. And what that does is, like, you're able to be able to pay, you know, at least 3-4 players, really good players, to be able to stay at the club. That's why we've seen Jerome Luai, Stephen Crichton, Spencer Leniu.
They've all had to move on.
They've all had to move on because they couldn't fit them in this structure of theirs. What this does for the Bears, it could potentially mean that they, and as a player, how cool is it to know, like, oh, I'm a $1 million player. There's not many of them. So you could have that $1 million ticket, but the Bears could have a way of getting 3 $1 million players, but only have to pay $830,000.
Yeah, oh, so that's where you did the
maths.
Okay.
It has to sit under $500,000.
Yeah.
Now, I was going through calculations. I was like, how can I fit 3 $1 million players?
Who are you going after?
$500,000. Look, I'll look for personnel again, because you're living in Perth. You'd know what it's like living over there. You'd need great personnel there, like a great personality who understands family culture, bringing in everyone from Sydney to, you know, you create your own family over there. So that would be priority.
Yep.
And then looking at the way that your team builds over the next 2 years, who's going to add the most value over the time, not just overnight, but more the
that's
two,
what I was saying
years.
Like, yeah, the age bracket of that 24 25 26 year old, I'll be wanting someone like that, so by the time they get to the mature ages, they've had plenty of time there to really make that team their own, not just there for a certain
who's a good
amount.
Example, do you think
how old's Nicho Hynes?
Nico's 30, just turned 30.
Oh, he's 30, might be a bit older.
I think a good example is, like, when you look at Jerome Luai, how he's gone to Tigers, shifted. They've gone from losing, getting the wooden spoon, what, 3-4 times in a row, to now pushing for top eight. And so Jerome Luai, that type of player, understands success, understands family culture. Stephen Crichton, same as what he's done with the Bulldogs.
Do you know someone like Dallin? I would like someone like Dallin at the side with Tony Zalesniak, just because of like family man values. He can move and be okay with living away from wherever he needs to, because some people get homesick over in Perth. Mm. But I reckon someone like him is a great team man. He's a finisher. He'll be someone that I'd go for, even though he's a winger. But
well, he's just re-signed, but I know there may be a clause in there, which 2028, you never know.
I never know. Okay, fair
especially
enough.
Especially if there's that $1 million price tag. but great news for Bears, happy for their fans, and I'm sure that this will help them for their recruitment in the next few years at least. Nelson Asofa-Solomona, so he fought in a boxing fight against George Burgess. What were your thoughts when you first seen this fight, Sammy?
Oh, man, there was a lot of carry-on leading into this fight around trying to sell the fights.
Did they sell it? Did they get you to watch it?
No, they didn't. I wait for the highlights on socials to come out, because I would not pay for anything like that. But hey, good on them. Again, anyone that can step into the ring, good on them. But it just watching that and probably just seeing the towel get thrown in for George Burgess in the third round and some of the handbags that were being thrown, it was just not for me. That's not boxing. It was just entertainment.
Entertainment. Well, it's a entertainment sport.
It is an entertainment sport.
I actually enjoyed it. I think the reason, when you look at the reasons why Nelson has shifted to boxing, look at how fast the game is. We don't have many Nelson Asofa-Solomonas in our game anymore. And if he's passionate about boxing, his character, he can sell a fight, whether it's cringy or not.
Man, nah, people, good on him.
People
good
want
on
to
him.
Watch it. And I actually liked that, although it probably wasn't the best boxing, but they were just giving it a crack. They got in the ring. Not many people would. Would you jump in the ring?
No, not a chance. Not a chance at all.
Something I've always thought about. My wife will not let me, but I'm always thinking, man, I'm keen, because I made my son jump in a ring at 5 years old and he held his own. I'm like, why would I do that if I haven't even jumped in a ring? Anyway, great work to Nelson. He got the win. George Burgess threw the tag, the flag, the towel in during the third round, I think it was.
Third round. Yeah.
Well done, Nelson. We will speak State of Origin next week, but just quickly before I wrap up the rugby league news, who would you like to see be named in next week's Blues team? I won't say Queensland because
I want Hamole straight back in. I'm not going to mince my words. I want Hamole straight back in.
I would love to see Liam Martin, Tom Trbojevic, Stephen Crichton, Ethan Strange. I'm going to say let's get him at six, just his running game. Hamole Olakau'atu. And this is a big one. In the squad, Jerome Luai.
Yep. Big game presence.
You have
nothing fazes him.
Stephen Crichton, Jerome Luai, bring the band back.
Because what happened when he came in last time, Jerome? Yeah, sets up the winning try down that left-hand side. So bring Jerome back. I'm with you on that one.
And yes, that's me here on Nesian Footy for Rugby League. Let's shift over to Rugby Union with the man, Sammy White.
Hey, I'm Charlie Gamble, and you're listening to Nesian Footy.
All right, let's get to Rugby Union, and a bit of sad news. We sort of knew it was coming, but it wasn't official yet, with the fact that Moana Pacifica won't be part of Super Rugby Pacific beyond this season due to those financial reasons. And we did have a glimmer of hope, but it was official yesterday, day before, that they will no longer be part of Super Rugby.
Yeah, it is upsetting, and I do feel for the players that did have another contract with the Moana next year. What does happen to the players with contracts next year?
Some have already found new homes. So we saw Semisi Paya, he's over in Cardiff now, so he'll sign over there and start with them over in Wales. I know Patrick's on the move. He'll be with a New Zealand franchise, I believe, at some point. That'll get announced soon.
With a good friend of yours, eh?
Hey?
With a
good friend of mine, my best mate. I told him, ready.
If you listen to Nesian Footy, there's your hint.
There's your hint. But yeah, there might be a few players still trying to look for a home as well. So it's unfortunate news for not only the players, but also, you know, the staff that are involved. You know, you look at Alanda Sorko, one of the assistant coaches. You know, where's he going to end up? He's coaching with Tonga at the moment, but he's such an amazing coach. You would hate to see him lost to the coaching world in the professional game because he's got a lot to offer.
Where does Miracle Failangi land?
That's another big question. Like nothing that I've seen or heard of yet to know where he's going to end up, but I'm sure he'll end up somewhere. Does he link back up with Artie when he comes back? Because there's talks about Artie going to either the Blues or back to Wellington.
He's definitely good enough to play for those Super Rugby teams.
Miracle? Yeah. Oh, 110%. He played in the Barbars game against South Africa last weekend.
Yeah.
Played really well. And I think that game itself would have showcased him around the world for teams like in Japan or France to try and pick up someone like Miracle. So nice. Hopefully there's a home there for the boys and the staff members. But, yeah, with this news around Moana not being in Super Rugby Pacific, obviously very gutted for the team, but I'm just a little bit concerned about the future of Super Rugby. Like, the integrity of that competition now has, I guess, come into question a lot more over this last 10 years because of the amount of teams that have come into the competition and now gone out of the competition.
You're talking about when, like, say, when the South Africa
was in there,
Japanese
Sunwolves, the Argentinian team, the Jaguares was in there. Then you had the Force come in, and then we had the Force get kicked out, but then come back in. Then you've had the Melbourne Rebels kicked out.
Were they those teams that have been coming in and out? Are they for the same reasons, financial reasons, that they've been kicked out? Or
it would have actually been because COVID really. Really showed, like, you know, the financial instability of the teams and the competition, and they didn't really recover well from that, so they had to find, you know, new homes. So South Africa decided to go overseas and join the URC. And, you know, for teams like Melbourne Rebels, that was a decision to be made because of financial reasons. So the state of Super Rugby not making money is a concern. So every year, most of our Super Rugby franchises are operating at a loss. And when you look at where the money comes from, you look at the CBA, the Collective Bargaining Agreement, which you are all over when it comes to your RLPA stuff, it hasn't gone up since 2018, and it only sits at $5.5 million. So when you talk about the salary cap stuff that you're talking about with the Perth Bears, we call it a CPS contract, core playing squad member. Their average is $85,000 in Australia. Minimum in their top 35.
Oh, so that's their top squad.
Top squad. Whereas in league, next year that's going to be 150. And then the following year, it's probably going to go up. Who knows? It could be 180 or 190 for your minimum wage in there. So that's a big difference when you're thinking about where you want to end up playing if you've got both codes to choose from.
145 next year.
145 next year, sorry.
145,000.
Yeah. It's such like an uncertain time for players, I believe, for Super Rugby, because the international game is flying. The game itself, the on-field product, is probably the best I've seen it, but it's just where's the money coming from to help top this competition up and the players to want to play in this competition?
One thing I heard that was interesting was the talks of a second NRL team in Christchurch, and I heard from Anthony Gelling that there's community funding now, so they're connected with the council, and that would help their drive for their bid for the second team. Do some of that revenue comes from the government to help this competition?
I believe not. Like, I think the only way they get revenue is through the broadcast deal, and what the Wallabies make, or the international scene, what they make. So winning and selling merchandise and selling tickets. Whereas, the NRL have multiple revenue streams to be able to help grow the game. And when I think
as a whole.
And then when I think about that game, the Warriors playing against the Cowboys in Christchurch. That date was deliberately set by the NRL. They knew full well that that's the grand final weekend of Super Rugby.
Yeah, true.
And when you think about historically, who's always been in the grand final in Super Rugby has been the Crusaders. So can you imagine on that weekend, if you had the Super Rugby Pacific grand final on the Saturday, if it was going to be the Crusaders, and then the Warriors game on the Sunday against the Cowboys, like, that is a message being sent to New Zealand, the All Blacks, that, hey, we're coming over here. We've put our flag in the ground here, and the heartland of rugby in New Zealand, on your so-called biggest occasion that weekend, we've put a round game there and sold it out.
In 3 days. In January.
So, like, that's a tough pill to swallow. You know, when you look at the progression of NRL and where that's heading, and then we're going to go down to Super 10, or, yeah, 10 teams next year for Super Rugby.
Before you wrap this topic up, what's the answer?
The answer is, I believe, we have to move our Super Rugby window into September.
Summer.
Into the summer. Like, you train there anyway, and it aligns with the global calendar, and you don't have to compete with AFL and NRL for eyeballs during that window.
Mm.
So you move it to the summer. That way, okay, you only have to compete with cricket, so people can get their fix. You can then potentially get it onto free-to-air TV so people can then watch. And that way the community game's left, because they can play right up and say from, you know, April through to September, and that moves into that.
You are a genius, mate.
That's what I think.
Someone needs to be listening to this, surely.
Ah, man, I hope that's the case.
I would love to watch some footy during that Christmas period or during the summer period. And if it does work, I'll just say it was my mate Sammy Wykes who brought it up in the first place.
I wish I could claim it, but I was talking to someone smarter than me, and I said that makes sense as well. But look, it's not all doom and gloom. Hopefully there's some positive news, and there is a long-term vision for Super Rugby. But that's all we have time for until we talk to Nems, because he'll go through some of the Nations Cup and the Nations Championship with Fiji and some other news for rugby.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Salah Tongatuki.
Yes, joining us every Friday on Nijin Footy is our NRLW superstar. She represents the West Tigers, has played for the New South Wales Blues, the Jullaroos, and the Fetu Samoa. Welcome, Salah Tongatuki, to Nijin Footy Friday. Salah, let's go straight.
Morning, afternoon,
Salah.
Anyway, afternoon shift.
Let's go straight to your trial last weekend, the first trial for your NRLW season. We know that the season will kick off next weekend, but how did you go in your first trial for the West Tigers?
Yeah, I felt pretty good. The girls look fit. They look calm. And even just like I played in the first, there was 3 25 minutes. That's how we did our trials, quarters. And yeah, the start, I was in the first 25, and the girls that were on the bench were saying that, yeah, that was just like the standard to the physicality and how we were playing. They were getting more nervous because they were like not sure if they were going to meet that expectation when we come off and they come on. But they exceeded that expectation for sure. And yeah, they just look so comfortable, the girls. I guess I've been touching on this, like the fitter you are, the better the footy's going to be. And right after that trial, it was good to get the win, but that's just trials. We had training the next day, but it was more of recovery, top up. And then Tuesday we got right back into it, and it was like an 8K session. And in that session, the mindset had turned for a lot of players. Before, we'd always dread, we just finished a big cycle and then we're going to have to do more like con running. But everyone just loved it. We had players that normally come last in our con blocks want to be at the front and stay leading at the front, which was really good to see. But I think, it was evident. The trial was like evident for not just the players, but also the staff. Like, the pressure isn't just on players, it's also on the performing staff as well. Like, They also have a job to do for us. Whether everything that they've planned and done for us, is it going to work or has it worked? And it definitely showed on a weekend. So everyone's bought into it again. And it's just, really healthy. It's really good. Mm. It's not used to winning, that's for sure. And we looked at each other.
Won the game.
We did win.
Yes.
And we didn't do any converting, like conversions and that. So our score was like 36, I think, or 8.
And who did you play?
We played the Dragons. Not going to underestimate them. Like, obviously, it's just trials. Every team's still finding their combos. But, yeah, it was just interesting because with conversion than in game, you get more of a break, depending how quick the kicker sets or where they're kicking from. That obviously goes into play. But we actually had, like, about 30 seconds or something, and we went straight into it, like a kickoff. Wasn't really much of a time to rest, yeah, in between.
Who stood out for you guys in your game that you were impressed with? It's had a big preseason and then they've delivered on game day.
Definitely Racine. Man, she, it was, I don't know, there was something different about her. I don't know if it's just because that's the old club that let her go. She had a lot to obviously want to prove for herself. And it was interesting. We didn't play the footy that we have been training to play, but everyone was just sort of being comfortable and just showing what they can do. But the one I was most impressed with was Namoya. She's an 18-year-old, moved down here from Queensland. She's Tongan. And her father's also a coach. He's proper Tongan and he's cool. Like, he's come down with her and, yeah, he's so passionate. And he also flew down just to watch her trial. Man, like, they missed the recording had stopped. So in our last 25, they didn't capture it because they thought the game was done, but it wasn't. We just had to go in for a bit of a longer break. That's what the coaches had agreed on.
The people streaming the game.
Yeah, that was streaming, yeah.
Turned it off.
They turned it off, yeah.
Last 25 minutes. Well, they're sacked.
Who knows? Whoever looks after that will look after it. But, yeah, Namoye, man, she was smacking people. Her read and defense, she plays center, but, like, she's a big girl. And she was just coming out, like, whacking people. She's been working hard on that and her fitness as well. Her runs were just so dominant. It's like another Martha, in para. But she's just a unit. Yeah, it's just a unit. Like, and she's young, only 18, and the first thing she comes up to us girls at training was, oh, like, I need to make sure I'm disciplined with my eating. Like, what 18-year-old, you know, Tongan, Polynesian background, has ever thought about, oh, I need to make sure I'm eating right. You know, I can't just be eating right 5 days and then two crap because of Sunday feast and that. She's quite switched on. She really cares and she's really committed. And that's all our coaches ask for in our standards is we need commitment, committed players and resilient players. And she's definitely shown that alongside Tyler, Amin and Tuai. She's come from Para as well, which we'll go up against in round one next weekend. She just unlucky with injuries, but Tyler's come to us and we've shown her belief and care. And our medical staff got her up to running, and man, she was a powerhouse. Like, I'll be scared for a quick play of the ball because her running right through behind that ruck, she was gone. She was like deceivingly really quick for a big girl as well. And something that we've probably missed in the last two seasons at Tigers is size and power. And yeah, we're just keen to see those two young ones go up against when they play, put the jersey on. So yeah. Tyler and Namoye.
So you heard it here first. The players to watch out for, young rookies for the Tigers, Namoye Gessa and Tyler Amiatu.
Yes, sir.
Salo, and big NRL games this weekend. I know we've seen the Rabbitohs last night beat the Eels 32 points to 12, but geez, there are some exciting games to watch. Which one sticks out to you and why?
The game I'm looking forward to this weekend would have to be the Dolphins versus Warriors. I think this one will be a really physical battle through the middle. Both teams do have outside backs that can probably turn it into one of those games in one moment. For me, the matchup that I'll probably look forward to as well in this game is the Hammer against Tane Toipiki. Like, the Hammer is obviously one of the most dangerous players in the game right now, especially if he's in open space. Whereas, like, Toipiki, he's safe under the high balls, but he competes really hard. So, yeah, whoever wins that battle, like, who could have, you know, compete hard and just insert themselves as much in the game, I feel like that would say a lot in the results. Another one for me is Herbie Farnworth and Adam Pompey. Herbie loves carrying defenders, creates plenty of opportunities, and then Pompey's, like, also a reliable defender. He's also a strong ball runner. So probably in the forwards, I'm looking forward to Mitch Barnett. he's just really aggressive in the middle, sets the tone early. But you also got players that also will return from the Origin.
Yeah, so you do have those Queensland stars coming back for the Dolphins in Max Plath, Gulikefu Fine, Fe'iwiyaki, Tom Flegler, the Hammer. Yeah, you've got plenty of strike power coming back for the Dolphins. The reason why this is also a very huge game to look out for is you got the on the ladder, Warriors are sitting at second, Dolphins are sitting at third. The last five times these teams have played each other, only 4 points difference in between the result. And the Dolphins, they are coming on the back of seven wins in a row.
Seven winning streaks, yeah. So but obviously, will the Warriors
is Isaiah playing this week?
Stop that.
His name,
he does
because my mate over here stitched me up last week when I chose the Dolphins. And I said, oh, is Isaiah playing? He goes, yeah, mate, he's in. He's in.
Guys, what happened to the Roosters and the Sharks game?
What about the Roosters and Sharks game?
We both went for the Sharks.
No, we went Roosters.
No, you did not. I thought the Sharks were going to win, but Roosters.
The Sharks.
Roosters were strong.
You followed teeth of the Sharks.
But with the Warriors.
Anyways, with the Warriors and Dolphins, I feel like this is going to be in the middle. You got Wade Egan, Jeremy Marshall King. I reckon them two have been at their form and in season at dummy half. So I'm excited to see how they both deceptive and against each other. But I feel like for the Dolphins to win, it's they need to get into that middle really early, get quick play the balls to Hammer and Herbie in space, and then for the Warriors, I feel like they'll match the Dolphins to physicality easy in the middle. They just complete their sets and let the halves and that build that pressure for them.
Who do you think will win this game?
I've been going to Wires the whole I might go to Dolphins this one.
Ooh, okay.
I feel like they actually might. Yeah, I reckon they will.
Well, you know how I said that the Dolphins have won seven games in a row. The last team that beat them was Wellington.
Was the Warriors.
Was the Warriors.
Sold out at the Cake Team.
By 2 points in Wellington. So I think it's going to be a huge game, and I'm looking forward to watching it this Saturday.
Who are you boys going?
Well,
the Warriors they have lost a big player in Jackson Ford due to a pectoral injury, but after watching them live in Christchurch, there's just something about the energy that they're carrying into each game.
Next man mentality, I reckon.
There's a lot of flow in their performances. Their strike weapons, their halves are playing, they're in sync. And they're able
it's
to
good
finish.
To have, yeah.
They're able to finish out wide. So I think it's going to be a very entertaining game. If I had to pick one, just on the back of form and the way that the Dolphins have been playing, I'm going to go the Dolphins. And it's also in Brisbane. So Warriors, they've had to travel to Christchurch straight after the game. They flew back up to Auckland, and then they are traveling over to Brisbane for the very next weekend. So for that reason, I'll go the Dolphins, but only by a small margin.
I like it too. Yeah. I might follow you.
Same,
again, that
go
one.
On Dolphins.
Everyone Dolphins? Oh. All right, sweet. Everyone's Dolphins for this one. Yes. Perfect.
All right. I hope our friends in Warriors aren't listening. Sorry, darling. But
sorry, guys. Yeah.
Salah, thank you for joining us. Will we be able to get next Friday before round one?
Yeah, definitely. That's my day off. So,
Oh, beautiful.
Perfect.
Sweet.
Commitment. Appreciate it.
So we'll be able to preview those games. Beautiful. So it'll be better.
All right. Too easy.
Oh, my gosh.
Nah, appreciate
I'm
you,
so
Salah.
Sorry, guys.
All good.
Thank
sorry.
You.
Thank you very
Take
much.
Care.
Appreciate you. Bye.
Letters.
No.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, welcome back to our big man, Nemani Nondola Kurindrani. He's come in hot. He's come in heavy, but not in the heavy that we think, but just come in heavy with some news here. Nems, you look a bit flustered over there, but how are you?
Yeah, good boys. You know what? I've missed last week. I'm feeling guilty that I'm missing this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I get with you boys every week. I've actually come early, haven't I? In our group chat said, boys, you're ready.
I know, that's why we're looking at you through the Zoom.
I've had to just quickly duck out of a meeting with CEO, GM, and potential new employee, which that's all I can say for now. But and I'm here for you boys. That's the boys first.
Are we talking about the Drua CEO, the Drua GM?
Yeah, not like your other employment CEOs and GMs, not that part. We're talking about the Drua. So you've brushed Jeff Miller. You've brushed all those guys to come out for Nijin footy.
And he's also left the candidate as a head coach, which he's obviously not going to give the name.
He won't give the name, but what does it rhyme with?
And guess what my excuse was? Hey, lads, I've just got to go do number two.
There he is. You're the man.
Oh, that is the best.
Remember the game Guess Who? Remember the game Guess Who? And you got to...
Does he have dark
like,
hair?
Yeah. Does he have no hair like yourself? Like, can you give us some features here so we can start putting together, piecing together the profile of the new Drua head coach?
I'll tell you this much. He is from either Australia, New Zealand, and he's coached at the highest level. I'll leave it at that. Okay. So next question, boys. Let's go.
Next question.
That's plenty.
Well, it can't be Razor Robinson. He's over with the Barbas, so we'll rule him out. So there's a... Or is it? Is it a Zoom chat? But anyway, next question. Let's get on to... the Fijian squad, they're prepping for the Nations Championship. Man, there's a good squad assembled. How are they going over in Wales? Because they have a big game next week.
Yeah, it's going to... Well, I think it's interesting for everyone, isn't it? Like, with a new interim coach there, I think we're all just eager to see how they're going to gel together, how the environment's going to be. You know, let's face it, it's disruption, obviously, with a new coach. But you know, the boys, there's some interesting inclusion into the squad. Now I think it's going to be an interesting week ahead. There's obviously a lot of media hype around it, but I just think the boys will be pumped. I think the boys as players will be keen to get out there, obviously put the jersey back on, and I just hope for their sake that they just block out, you know, what's the outside noise. That's going to be the biggest thing. Block out the outside noise, go in there with, you know, with excitement. And, you know, Wales, let's not write Wales off. If there's one team that they're going to try and, you know, do well against, or they're going to try and go well for, it's going to be Fiji. So, and we all know Wales is Fiji's sort of grudge match, you know. There's always little rivalry there between the two countries. So, very exciting week ahead. But I think all eyes will be on the new coach.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. It's going to be a massive game over there. Obviously, no home ground advantage, even though it's supposed to be the home grounds for all the Southern Hemisphere teams. But keen to talk more about that next week. But we'll move back towards the Drua. Some big signings outside of the head coach that will potentially come in. Ben Vola. How good's this? The kid's coming home, or the mature man is coming home to potentially finish his career at the Drua. How excited are you for his signing? Because I know you've got close relations with him.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And, you know, it's when I first arrived here, I actually was like, man, we need someone like a Ben Vola Vola here, you know, to help guide these young 10s, these young 15s. Like, we're a pretty young side. And to have someone like him come here and is great. It's going to be massive for the club. You know, and you saw that in the responses from the social media. You know, he got a lot of love from his Reds former teammates, you know, saying how good and stuff he's. Well respected here, you know, and for him to finally get over the line for Benny to come, I think is massive. I caught up with him. We caught up for dinner together as a family, and one thing he told me was, you know, he's not coming here to just be a mentor and help young guy. He wants to play. He wants to come here and. You know, he wants to compete, and he still has ambitions to want to play the World Cup. And he said to me, you know, like, we had a conversation around him coming to the Drua is the best shot he's got at trying to make the World Cup. So, you know, that for me, for him to bring that excitement, it just, you know, I think we're going to see, we're still going to see some good for this. There's still a lot of footy in him. And, you know, I said to him, he's 35 now, he's 36 next year, and, man, he's actually in good nick. Like, I said to him, I said, oh, he has the knees. He's like, oh, no, they're fine. I was like, man, at 36, I'm just hopping over the line. But good. I'm really pumped for him, man, and he's going to go really well. I think he will. Obviously, his family's here. you know, move over, and you know, we're looking forward to having him.
I'd love to see him not only in a draw jersey, but I'd love to see him back in a Flying Fijian jersey as well. And then finally, I noticed on the draw socials, Stephen Donald has been over with the development team, the draw academy. You know, what was it like to have an All Black legend, a Chiefs legend, in and amongst the group? You know, passing on his wisdom.
Well, it was awesome. Like, to be fair, it was more the old heads, like the staff and the coaches were like, you know, in awe to see old Steve Donald and obviously talk about the World Cup wins and stuff. And it was funny because the kids were like, guys, we got Stephen Donald coming in. I was with him the night before and they're like, huh? Who? And I was just like, oh, he won the World Cup from, and they all started YouTube. They're like, oh, he did. He played for the All Blacks. So just to show how old we are and how young these kids are. But, mate, he came in, helped out. You know, big shout-out to them and the New Zealand, you know, our development camp or our academy camp. You know, we got a game on the weekend. It allowed us to have a game, and we played against an under-17s team. So, you know, his experience, expertise, and his kicking drill came, you know, was really handy for our kids. And, you know, he was good. He was only here for 24 hours and he had to go back. So, but you know, it was good to have someone of him as president. I was trying to see if he wanted a job. But he said, look, he's pretty
tight. He's got more hats than you, I think. But
It was worth a try.
But Nams, look, we better wrap it up now before the CEO sends a search party out to the bathrooms just to see where you are. So I bet you better get back to that important meeting. But please give us the exclusive, even if it's just the initials, and then we can leave with that next week.
Boys, I'll tell you one thing. For me to come out of this meeting, probably one of the most important meetings I've had since I've been at this franchise, it just shows the love that I have for this. All right, so don't
feel on much here. Love, my brother. Go, much love.
Add an extra zero to that invoice, brother.
Yes, take care, mate. Take care. All right, later.
Smoke. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke.
Yes, this is our tipping time. So each Friday afternoon, we will go through a lock and smoke. What that means is we look at the games over the weekend. We'll lock in one team who is the favorite, and then the smoky is someone who's probably not going to or not likely to win the game. And then we keep a score, and at the end of the year, the winner has to give the loser or shout the loser
a massive big feed.
So I am up 17 points to 13, and so in a comfortable spot. But we are
just
going,
say you're up. You don't need to say you're comfortable.
But yeah, we are. There's no rugby union games we'll cover this weekend.
Actually, can I have a smoky in the rugby? I'm going to call my smoky right now for rugby.
What is it then?
It's Japan 15 to beat the Maldi All Blacks in Japan this weekend.
Is that a smoky though? Because I haven't seen either teams.
Yeah, I would say, well, the Maldi All Blacks, man, Quintupaya, plenty of stars in that Maldi All Blacks side. Japan.
All right, I'll give you the smoky.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. Thank you. I'll take Japan on that one.
Yeah, I know you're stitching me up on this one. My smoky will be, let's go with the, I'm not going Tigers to beat the Knights. I'm not going the Dragons to beat the Raiders.
Titans beat the Bulldogs.
I'm not going the Titans to beat the Bulldogs.
It's on the Gold Coast.
You know what? Let's go that. Titans to beat the Bulldogs. Yeah, we'll be my smoky then.
If I didn't choose Japan, I would have gotten the Titans. Yeah.
So what's our lock-in?
What's our lock-in here?
I'm going to go my lock-in will be the... let's go the...
Stop following the Dragons.
No, I'm going Knights to beat the Tigers. I just like the way Knights have been playing. Fair enough. And they're playing at home.
I'm going to go my lock. Well, this is a big one here. Stormer on the charge. I want to go the Storm beating the Seagulls.
You had no chance.
No chance?
All good. We'll stick with that.
All good. Wrap us up, my friend.
Yes, tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on Monday, and we do have a very special guest, a retired international, Samoan, in rugby league.
Awesome. Looking forward to that one. Ka kite. We'll be right back.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.